Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Ben Rudkin. My name is Joanne. I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and an operator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. Now I'd like to hand over to Ben. Go ahead, please.
Hi, hello everyone. My name is Ben Rudkin. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the operations manager for the Wessex inner area. So generally that means I manage all the signallers and MOMs and their support staff between Waterloo down towards just past Woking and just past Hazelmere and then down to Reading on the Windsor lines. So you'll notice it's now 12:45. Apologies for that. There appears to have been some confusion over who was chairing it this week, to which it all then concluded that it was myself. So I do apologise for keeping everyone waiting. So without further ado, I will crack into the reasonably short agenda I have for this. I guess first point to note was that we had a 78% safety hour attendance last week, which is a brilliant effort from everyone. It's the highest score we've had on Wessex. So please don't be discouraged by the fact that this week I then took quarter of an hour to get started. Hopefully we'll be able to have some good discussion at the end of this. We had 109 close calls reported last week on Wessex. So this is, you know, these are little bits and pieces that we notice kind of day to day. Things that we think need to be raised to kind of further action. It's important when you raise a close call that you consider what mitigation you can do at the time, and then, you know, in order to kind of make things safe rather than just close calling it and leaving it for others to deal with. So, you know, well done for that. Everyone keep raising those close calls, and eventually we'll hopefully build a safer route for everyone. Okay, so in terms of incidents from last week, first incident I've got here was from the 10th of January. This was at Southampton. A member of the Eastern Signalling Works team sustained an injury to his lower back and left gluteal, very specific, after falling whilst undoing a tight lock on a tubular step stretcher. So I think for me looking at that, there's consideration there and, you know, people thinking about posture, maybe a little bit of manual handling, but also considering considering the possible consequences of every action you're doing. It's part of your own internal mental risk assessment before undertaking anything. At Staines on the 11th, we had an operative working within a Kent possession. This is item 37 outside Cannon Street, rang Felton's signal box for 7012 points to be moved by the signaller. The issue being is that the employee for Balfour's actually wasn't standing at the 701 points at Staines. He was standing at 701 points in the London Bridge area. So the conversation there sort of took one of those. It was quite an unfortunate one. But things that we did pick out from the call were, and I think this is a lesson around active listening for everyone, is that the signaller sort of never qualified 701 points with Foxtrot, and the cost didn't. Even though the signaller had stated that he was a Felton signal box signaller and that the points were at Staines, you know, the cost didn't really absorb that. It very much felt like he was going through the motions. So for me, there's a big active listening lesson there in terms of ensuring that you understand what you're hearing, you understand where you're working, and you understand, you know, the possible consequences. That obviously at the time we had no, there was no safety loss. In terms of, you know, we had no one working on 701 points at Staines, but, you know, potentially, you know, consequences could have been quite a lot higher. So I think that was a lesson for everyone there. Potentially also one about weather in terms of working in cold temperatures and just being aware of how this can potentially affect your concentration. You know, and the lesson there is about self-management, but also about ensuring, you know, you've got the correct PPE, particularly as weather drops this week, you know, you're dressed correctly for the conditions you're going to be working in. Next incident I have here was from the 12th of Jan. This was in the Hook area. The Pycock for item 63 reported that an ES was taken ill with a suspected stroke. The ES at around 0100 hours was feeling sweaty and clammy, and his colleagues called for an ambulance. Unfortunately, this person has subsequently passed away, so it's obviously a very tragic incident. There'll be a review led into this, and I imagine the findings will come out. I think this is definitely one for people just to make sure you always stay conscious of your health and how you feel. I don't know whether or not the person could have done, having not seen anything else, whether or not there might have been other, other symptoms or things that they might have identified, but, so I just another one about self-awareness there. On 13th of January, down in the Havant area, we had a member of Havant Peeway that strained his back after unloading sleepers from a lorry. This is another one of probably just to discuss around manual handling and being aware of tasks that you're undertaking. We also had, do you know what, I actually think some of the dates are slightly confusing, but we had a category A SPAD in the Wimbledon area, and this was another round where we, from a sibling side, there was an issue around the communications, so again, lessons there for active listening. On the 14th of January, we had a possession irregularity around a level crossing, and this was a barrier man authorising an engineering train over a crossing with a green flag, but he hadn't previously ensured the crossing barriers were lowered. So again, one there in terms of self-management and being aware of what you're required to do, active listening, making sure that you've gone through all the steps of your process before authorising something like that. And the final one here, and I think I heard this discussed last week, but it was a member of staff at the Area Maintenance Manager Office at Woking, burnt their middle and ring finger using a kitchen hot plate. So I think there, accidents do happen on the track, but also, when we're in places, when we're in offices and or on stations. So I think there's just so for people to reflect on, maybe not just the risks they face when working out on track or when working, carrying out safety critical duty, so to speak, but, also to consider the potential hazards that you experience day to day when you're, going around the offices, when you're making lunch, when you're driving to and from work, things like that. We had a signaler last week at Wimbledon who was knocked off his motorbike going home from work in the morning. And this was after a night shift. Again, we don't know the full story there. The signaler broke a finger and also injured his back. But there's definitely one there for self-awareness and fatigue and just, we've got I wouldn't say a trend, but there is a history of incidents occurring when people are on the way home from night shift. So I think one just to reflect on there around your fatigue, the weather and how you're feeling. So those are all the incidents I had on the list in front of me to discuss. I think one or two of them tickle my memory from last week, so apologies if I've run through some of those twice. We've got a safety bulletin to look at. I'll be looking at it and then relaying that information to you. But hopefully some of you will have access to this. It was about someone who broke their ankle on an emergency speed restriction board. This was on the Wessex route in the Guildford area. So the overview of this incident was that Peeway were erecting an emergency speed restriction and the injured person was suing the sidings and requested to get ESR equipment from the van. As he turned to do that, he stood in a speedboard which had been left on the ground and then the way he turned and placed his foot ended up resulting in a visit to A&E and subsequently a ankle break injury. So for there, there's, we talked then just now about risks and in terms of, work sites. And so a consideration there is, what's around you in terms of materials, is where you're working, is it safe? Is it free from obstructions or things you could potentially trip over? And just being aware of, how you're managing the equipment you've got on you that you don't create a trap for yourself. So that is a safety bulletin I have. That was issued on the 8th. I'm not 100% sure exactly when the incident took place. Regardless of that, it's certainly one to think through and reflect on. So a number of items here from the occupational health team. So there's a couple of employee newsletters, one speaking about mindfulness, which I believe is something that is connected to Validium, which are our chain of care provider that we have at Network Rail. They replaced previously, many of you remember, Care First. Having a quick look at the email, mindfulness is something that originated in Asia. By the looks of it, it's a Buddhist. It's kind of a Buddhist phrase, which is all around essentially. It's creating ways of paying attention to what's around you at the time and reflecting to that, and you know the benefits of this are increased self-awareness and things like that. So I suppose just away from the specifics of mindfulness, Validium is something that, you know, I guess there's always going to be a stigma around people asking for help for things like this. So I suppose Validium is available. The conversations I've had with people, you know, confidentially, who have used it, you know, the feedback has always been absolutely fantastic. So I think it's certainly something that if you feel that you're in a position where they could help you, I would certainly recommend people to pick up the phone and give them a call. The details for that are on the Safety NR Wessex website. So the final bulletin I have here, let me just check it's suitable for this. It's a final one. It's just a home safe release from IP Southern, and this is about Carillion Construction, which we're fined £200,000 and ordered to pay costs of £36,570. Following a prosecution by the ORR, the Office of Rail and Road, for breaching health and safety laws, which at the time resulted in the tragic death of Scott Dobson. This was on 4th December 2012, which I'm sure many of you remember. Scott Dobson was acting as a cost at Saxelby, where he was struck by a train. The key findings from the accident investigation was that it stepped back onto an open line and into the part of a train as it passed the site of work. The ORR subsequently, from their investigation, found a number of failings from Carillion's planning and management team, largely resulting around the fact that in the scenario, only one of the two railway lines had been blocked while the maintenance work was being carried out. As a result of this, this was, you know, one of the things that resulted in Southern Shield, which was established as, you know, the Southern Region Collaborative Safety Forum, which as a collective examines the processes, plant design and culture within the business and, you know, within the wider railway business, with the aim of eliminating accidents and incidents which are preventable, you know. So and again, this kind of carries on with the mantra of everyone home safe every day. So that is everything from the agenda that I've got here. So again, I suppose just to sort of flag things that have sort of been raised to me over the last week or so, you know, there's still I think we still need a big focus around driving and, you know, considering how we drive and the life-saving rules around driving. When I look at and see releases and see things, you know, released from anywhere, you know, driving is, I think, up there with, and this is completely unsubstantiated, but, you know, driving does come across as, one of the major, if not the major, sources of injuries around work. It's what something just always be aware of. Thinking about your behaviours when you're driving, how you're feeling, the conditions you're driving in, you know, as I made reference to earlier, if you're feeling fatigued from driving home from nights, which is something, you know, you want to get home, and driving is the method you decide to do it, which is fine. It's just sort of making sure that you feel fit to drive before you switch on the engine and get behind the wheel. Get behind the wheel and switch off the engine would be the preferred order of doing that. So that's everything I kind of had written down to discuss on this safety hour call today. So if I could have the line open for questions at all. Thanks for bearing with me again for the first 15 minutes. I will not be taking questions on why there was no me for the first 15 minutes, but if you do have any questions around safety hour, anything we've discussed, or you know, just general observations on safety, please do raise them now.
Thank you, Ben. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name, then press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name, and press the hash key. Thank you. No questions at the moment, then.
Okay, I have an update. There's no questions on the website so far. I didn't realise that was a method of asking questions, but just so you're now aware, you can ask questions through the website, and I get a little email pinged to me that tells me if there's questions or not. So that is another method of doing it if you don't feel like speaking on the call. We'll give it another minute or so.
We had a question come through on the audio. The question comes from
Ivan.
Go ahead, please.
Hello, Ben. It's Ivan. Ivan Kimball. Just wanted to go through that where the wrong set of points came through to the wrong signaller. What do you think in the conversation would have stopped that? Is it the letter before the set of points, or the location and repeat back? Did you listen to the conversation? I was just wondering if you could expand on that. And so what's really important for us when we're talking about sets of points, etc., which we may do every day, but have gone through to the wrong signaller, then that can mean that there are a similar number of points and on different areas.
So I have listened to the comms for that. I think the main thing I took away from the comms, because I think there's quite a lot made of, and I think in terms of lots of little things you can do to contribute to a perfect conversation, if the signal said Foxtrot 701, or challenge for Foxtrot 701, there is a chance that the penny may have dropped at that point. I think the one probably more key thing for me listening to the comms is in terms of active listening and actually reflecting on what you're hearing. From the way I listened to that call, I would say there was quite a big chance that even if the signaller had said Foxtrot 01, that the cost still would not have recognised that he was speaking to the wrong person, because it very much felt like the cost was just going through his mental script of what he needed to say to the signaller. And I didn't really feel like he was absorbing that. I think he just felt like he was going through a process, and at the end of the process, his set of points would move. So I think for me, what it would have been key from a kind of active listening perspective would be if the cost had actually reflected, hang on, have I spoken to the right signaller? The signaller identified himself as a signaller at Feltham. Do I know which signaller I should be speaking to? Rather than maybe thinking he's just going to hear from signaller X at points at Y, does he know where he is? Maybe he thought that junction at London Bridge was called Staines Junction. The cost needed to reflect on what he was hearing in order for him to, I think that would have been the key thing that would have prevented it. A factor in that may have been that if the signal had said Foxtrot, the penny might have dropped, but I think quite a big part for me was that the signal had identified he was the signal at Feltham and the points were at Staines. So I think after we'd already missed two really obvious signals, I think the third one, while a technical point that should have been covered, I don't know whether that would have been the thing that had the bearing on the incident. I think the big part of it was that active listening skills and people kind of being aware of where they are. I suppose my final point on that, not to labour it, I think there's a... I know sometimes, and I get the impression speaking to COSs, that you can build up a bit of a fear of talking to signallers, which is the wrong thing. Because I think there's a, you know, we've probably had a lot of occurrences where a COS feels like he's talking to a signaller, you know, and if he says, you know, if there's one thing wrong, he's going to lose his line block, or he's going to lose, you know, he's not going to be able to take his, you know, he's not going to be able to take, well, that line block is, he's not going to be able to do his work that night, he's going to get in trouble. So all he wants to do is say all the right things that are going to get the signaller to go out on the block. And for me, you know, as the kind of head of signalling on the inner, you know, I would always want to put out there that that's absolutely, you know, that's the wrong thing to have in your mind. You know, and it's, you know, and if there are people, you know, if people do feel like, you know, they're being victimised slightly, then, you know, they should raise that and we'll deal with that as management. I wouldn't want people to, you know, think they have to say, you know, they have to say things that, you know, just to facilitate getting a line block. You know, obviously we want all the right processes to be in place, if that makes sense. I don't know, I've rambled on.
Yeah, no, sorry, no, I mean. No, that's a really good insight. And I think the signal leads the conversation as far as the rule book's concerned, but it doesn't mean to say... that the other parties to the conversation haven't got their part to play. But also your last comment about, you know, people want to get their line blockage. If they're, you know, your comment is well heard and well noted, and I think people can escalate at the time if they feel there's a problem to control or whatever, or their on-call, their line manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is what you're saying. So that sounds great. Yeah, thank you for that.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for the question. Is there anyone else who would like to ask anything?
No questions in the queue, but if you would like to ask a question, please key star, then one on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. Thank you.
I'll probably give it another 30 seconds or so.
No questions at the moment.
Okay, right, okay then, well, my
eyes are like... Sorry, we've just had a question come through. Would you like to take the question?
Let them through.
The question comes from... Your phone may be a mute caller, but if you start to ask a question, you're live into the call. Please go ahead.
Hello, Ben, it's Jim. Jim as well.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Just on... I don't know the full details behind that 701 points, but maybe one train of thought is about that if you haven't got a clear understanding of exactly where somebody is, and sometimes what I would do with a set of points, even to make sure they are on points and they're not stood in any other points around the junction, is to make sure that all the persons are clear and then actually move the points that they want to... So when you hear them, plus the person on site actually sees them go over and back before they actually do anything, so you actually have identified the exact points. Because sometimes you've got a complex area, you take Waterloo through, they might be stood somewhere, and you move another IPS next to another IPS, which we've had one or two places, and they move the wrong set of points. So before anyone does anything, you just move to points which they want to work, and you identify that on site and in the box. So, but I don't know the full story behind what that person was trying to do, but that's something that I've done in my own career sometimes, too, especially in complex areas.
No, I agree, Jim. Yeah, I mean, it's always key to make sure that people are clear. I think, and you're right with what you're saying. I think one of the key things there was, I think as far as the signaler and the cost were concerned, they both thought they were talking about the same set of points. In theory, if people had been working on the points at the stadium, they might not have known. But you're right, there is, there's a big thing there. It is about confirming that everyone's in the right place. It's about understanding exactly what bit of the infrastructure you're talking about. And yeah, I agree, Jim, that's definitely best practice for that sort of scenario.
Yeah, because like I say, most of the time, if you've still got them on the phone, you can hear them whirring over, and also it's more for them on site, really, from their point of safety as well. Excuse the pun there, but obviously that's sort of the key thing for them, so that they're not, so they know that you know what you're doing as well. So, but it's just a thought, but like I say, I don't know the details fully behind that in that sense, but it's just one of those.
No, thanks for the input, Jim. People don't need to know the exact details behind anything on here. Please just throw out, anything that we can. We can discuss. It's all in the spirit of doing the right thing. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the question. Okay, is anyone final? Any more prompted? I'm not going to leave it open too much longer now.
No more questions in the queue, Ben.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I think everyone's had sufficient chance now to put in a question. Thank you all for dialing in today. It will be a prompt 12:30 start next week, I'm sure. Thanks, everyone, again. This is the end of the safety hour.
Thank you, Ben. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and have a good afternoon.